Data gathering interest that we have as root server operators took a leap forward last year in preparation for the signing of the root. And the major change that happened because of the signing of the root from that point of view that was that we moved from only doing this on an individual basis, as in iRoot did data monitoring and collection for our purposes, to, and the same was true for other letters, to having this as a joint effort where we actually managed to get data together for most of the instances around the planet to be able to do joint analysis on the complete data sets from all of them. We've done that in collaboration with TNS OARC, and we do this on occasion, not continuously, but on occasion, and the infrastructure is there, which is a major improvement. As a consequence of having to do this, while I cannot speak for the other letters, typically, I can say that for iRoot, we had to deploy new hardware, and we've now instrumented every single site around the planet with additional hardware for package capture and storage of large amounts of data, just to be able to do this. Capture and subsequent analysis when and if there is a need. Next slide, please. In addition to being able to capture packets for analysis next to the servers, there are various kinds of monitoring of the service that we provide. One way of looking at monitoring is to divide it into internal monitoring and external monitoring. And internal monitoring, from this point of view, is what we see at the servers themselves or next to the servers. And that's exactly what we see with package capture equipment. Typical output, or possibly the most easily parsable output, are things like graphs over how many queries per second we see and how the queries are spread around the internet and where we see most traffic, etc. That's really easy to generate, easy to decipher and look at, and it looks nice. Whether it really provides any crucial input or not is not clear, but it is very easy to get some information from it. And the graph you see there is the last week of traffic to iRoot aggregated across all our sites around the planet. So that's depending on whether one or a few sites are offline or not, which is likely. I don't know because I'm not at home. But my guess would be that it's 30-plus sites around the world that put together see something in the vicinity of 30,000 queries a second. Next slide, please. But there is also external monitoring, and external monitoring is how to look at the service from the outside. And one of the changes when you go from unicast, where the service is provided from one single location, where it's very easy to test the quality of the service, but just, test it. You send queries there. With Anycast, you cannot do that, because if you send queries to an Anycast address from a single point, all of those queries will go to the same location. You simply will not see the other locations around the network because they have the same address. And for that reason, external monitoring in the case of Anycast requires a fairly large number of probes spread around the internet, because you need enough probes to hit all the individual locations where there are servers located. And that is becoming more and more of a challenge the more sites that we deploy, etc. So this external monitoring is, in some cases, root server operators do this themselves because they have probe networks deployed around the internet. In some cases, it's external monitoring provided by third parties. Two examples here are the RIPE-NCC DNS mon service, which is fairly well known, and it's being used to track both root servers and all sorts of other DNS servers around the planet. And another example that I can mention is something called the Gulliver Project in Japan. Next slide, please. And here is the final slide, just as an example. This is the output from the RIPE NCC DNS mon service, where along the y-axis you have a bunch of probes around the internet, and along the x-axis is time, and red means not good. So basically in this kind of diagram, green is good and red is bad, and any individual blips are non-issues. The interesting stuff is when you get lines, and there are basically two types of lines, vertical lines and horizontal lines. A vertical line would mean that many different probes see a problem at the same time. That's typically a major issue. A horizontal line, on the other hand, means that a single probe is having a problem for a very long time. And because no other probe is seeing a problem, the most likely interpretation here is that it's actually the probe that has a problem rather than the service. So the line that we see here is not an indication of root name service not working so much as a malfunctioning probe or a probe that has a network issue close to it. And that's an example of the type of thing you can see if you have this type of external probe network. And that's all I have to say. So thank you. And I wonder if anyone has a question.
Yeah, we can also do questions when we've gone through all three of the presentations. I guess that's up to Matt as moderator.
Yeah, well, why don't we, just in the interest of making sure we get through all the material. So the next presentation is Paul Vixie talking about what RSAC was asked by the ICANN board last year regarding root scaling and what the RSAC committee's response was.
Thank you, Matt. So the concern, I think, by the ICANN board was if they were thinking about adding some GTLDs, exactly how many could they add? And so they asked us, and I'll let you know how that went. And as Matt says, we'll postpone the questions until the end. So I guess the right responsible way to ask the question is, as broadly as possible, try to learn as much as you can. They wanted to know how large the root zone could conceivably be, how many queries it could support per second, you know, how large could the community of interest be, how fast could the root zone grow, which is a slightly different question than how large could it become. And how long could changes possibly take to propagate from, you know, where a new GTLD was added or perhaps a name server list was changed, and the furthest reaches of this distributed worldwide Anycast system that Johan has described. Now, unfortunately for us, the question was too broad, and we more or less sent it back and said, could you be a little bit more specific? In other words, we said it all depends. So our answer came in two lumpy-looking paragraphs, and I'll read them out loud. For the cases where the augmentation of the root zone involves the introduction of new capabilities, such as the use of new resource records, for instance, IPv6 addresses and DNSSEC, which create technical discontinuities, specific studies should be commissioned to examine the impact. These studies will be initiated by RSAC as it becomes aware of the need, either by direct participation of its members in the standards process, ICANN's processes, or any other means that raise RSAC's awareness of the desired changes. Okay, what does that mean? It means that if a protocol change is going to be visible on the wire, it is more important for us to sort of be conservative about rolling it out than it might be for almost any other set of operators. And the reason is that we talk to everybody. Every internet-connected device that isn't behind some kind of a NAT or firewall that prevents them talking to us will ultimately have to talk to us. And if there is something that we change that really substantially violates their assumptions, they could find themselves offline. We don't want to do that. We want it to be that as we roll the root name server system forward through history, that it always appears to work well, even for people whose assumptions are bad, and they are perhaps too conservative in what they are willing to accept. And so the examples recently would be adding quad A records for name servers. A lot of TLD operators started to add quad A records for Glue in order to provide native V6 name service for their top-level domain, and they asked ICANN, could you please add the necessary information to the root zone in order that we will start receiving queries over V6. And eventually this was done, but not before a lengthy period of consideration and study. The same thing happened with large responses when we wanted to add EDNS0 support, the so-called OPT record, and the same thing has happened with DNSSEC. We will always be conservative in what we produce. We're going to propose it or hear the proposal. We'll discuss it, test it. When we roll it out, we will have a fallback so that if all of our study turns out to have been inadequate, that and then the Internet starts to have a bad day, in spite of our preparations, we can back out to some version that does not have whatever the new thing is. This is bothersome to some, right? A lot of people think that we should just roll stuff out and people who are going to get hurt by it should just grow up and get better. That attitude, I think, was more suitable for an academic Internet than for what we have now. The second somewhat lumpy paragraph of our answer reads as follows. In the case of the proposed gradual expansion of no more than 1,000 entries per year for the next several years, RSAC expects the system to remain stable and robust. Further study will be performed by RSAC in order to model the theoretical capability of the root name server system, including zone propagation and responses, thus discover possible size-related service discontinuities. RSAC will also monitor the system's performance, again, the important ones being zone latency and response latency and capability, for trends and thus discover any gradual or continuous service degradation. Let me explain what that means. It means we don't know our full capacity. We have never stress-tested the system to say, at this number of queries per second, it works just fine, but if you go beyond that, it will begin to fail. And short of, really load-testing it, you never really know how a system will behave. More than that, we don't have a good model for predicting where those limits are. And that's largely due to kind of the lack of information sharing, but it doesn't matter so much. I'll get to that. So the other thing we told ICANN is that if you're going to radically alter the rate, right, if 1,000 per year turns out to be wrong and you want 1,000,000 per year, could you give us a year, at least a year, to prepare for that? Because we have our own capacity planning that we need to do. We promise to work to model the full capacity of the current system and future instances of the system, and Suzanne Wolf will discuss that next. But the main sense of our answer was, please don't worry about us. Our commitment is to provide sufficient capacity. We will do that. And whatever you provide us as a root zone, we will serve it. And we will make sure that the people who make queries against it get answers. And, please do not try to shape your policy around what you think our capabilities are. There are plenty of very large zones on the Internet, .de, .com, et cetera. We know that there are existence proofs of very large zones. We don't expect to have a problem reaching a very large size if that's what ICANN's normal policy development process calls for. And, you know, to give you a little bit of a backstory, that was part of what we had to get the ICANN board to change, was to change the nature of their question. Because when all they wanted to know was what is your measured or theoretical capacity, we could not answer. But when we challenged them to name a number first, then we were able to say, oh, that number is fine. If they'd named a different number, we would have said either that number is fine or that number will be fine after we make some upgrades. But our commitment is to sufficient capacity, not to a specific capacity. So there are some longer-term questions. Now, when you say "bring it on," that, you know, it's a good soundbite for TV, and it works okay if you know in advance what the number is. 1,000 TLDs per year is, frankly, noise. But the community does deserve to know what a theoretical root server system could carry in order to guide the policy process. You know, it may be, for example, that 1 million is fine, but 1 billion would break something. We should be able to tell you what it is and why. It may be that if we give the community a number that is not what the community wanted to hear, that they will ask for a different design. Maybe 13 servers that are mostly anycasted is not the perfect design. Maybe we need to rethink this. If so, we will rethink it. RSAC has accepted these challenges, and Suzanne will describe what we're doing about those. But in this short few minutes, I hope I've explained sort of how we got to where we are now.
All right. Thank you, Paul. So our final presentation, formal presentation, is by Suzanne, who's going to explain what's next for the committee.
Sure. My name is Suzanne Wolf, and I actually work for ISC, which is the operator of the F root name server, but I also serve as RSAC's liaison to the ICANN board. So I've been in the middle of this dialogue, this process of discussion all along, and I'm actually very pleased with how it's turning out and that we're able to do this workshop. Say again? Okay.
Well, while John's looking, let me apologize in advance that I have to leave the session a little bit early to get to the next thing. So Suzanne's going to take over seamlessly.
moderate any questions we might have. But actually, we have probably an extra minute or two. If my colleagues here who are associated with the root server operator organizations could raise your hands, because part of the point of having this meeting was so that people would know who we are, because we haven't actually done one of these meetings as Matt described very often in the past. Okay, I think that's enough introduction. Next slide. The framing for where we're at now and the immediate next steps that I picked was that. There's been a consultation. Some of you are probably more aware or involved than others. But as the new GTLD program sort of winds towards its launch, there's been a lot of back and forth among all of the elements of the ICANN policy processes. But the particular high-profile one right now that serves as kind of a good vehicle for just talking about this has been between the board and the Government Advisory Committee. And leaving out, you know, the soap opera details, because there have been a few, the framing we're at now, the place we're at now, is that the Government Advisory Committee put together a list of what it feels are still issues that might have public policy implications that need to be addressed before we can launch new GTLDs. And this is what governments do. They say this is about public policy. This is about the interests of the entire community, of everyone involved. Most of the issues on the table as part of that discussion are strictly policy-based. They're about intellectual property rights. They're about rights to place names as TLD names and consumer protection and such issues as that. Some are operational. And root scaling is one of the ones identified recently as still open with some operational concerns. We agreed early in that particular discussion that there are no policy issues, but what there are is, from the government's perspective, they need a little bit more clarity. They need a little bit more confidence that these things really are being handled properly and will be managed transparently and such that the world will have confidence that the basic security and stability of the system is guarded. Not just for the root server system, but that's often used as shorthand for the entire pipeline of what of IANA considering changes to the root zone all the way out to what a user sees when they query for a name. So this is critical infrastructure here. And there's this ongoing discussion where the governments and ICANN are trying to reach. I've been carefully coached that governments do not negotiate with non-governments, so this is not a negotiation, but it is a discussion about how to go forward in a mutually agreeable and responsible way. Now, a lot of work by a lot of the people in this room and elsewhere in the community has gone into explaining a great deal already of what my colleagues went through, particularly Yellen's introduction. Everybody involved at this point realizes that the risk of something going seriously wrong in the system we've been describing with the plans for new GTLDs, the risk is very low. The system is very, very, very much over-provisioned for current needs and could easily add more capacity. This is what Paul was talking about, is it's very difficult to know what the capacity is because it can be, it is not only much larger than it needs to be, but it can be changed. But the concerns include that even the low risk needs to be handled properly, needs to be openly addressed. The concern that has been shaped is around monitoring and reporting on overall health of the root zone generation and distribution system. Johan went through the part where there's a lot of monitoring out there, but it's not widely known. To a great extent, that's accessible to engineers, not to policy people, business people, a lot of the people that need to have confidence in the system. There's a concern that there is no documented process for an alarm to be raised and accountability for handling it. Even if you don't think that's ever going to be used, there's a strong feeling that it would be a good thing to have a documented process. And there's also a concern that there not be an additional round of new GTLD after the current one that's contemplated until there's a chance to make sure that there's been no negative impact as a result on the full system. Again, people realize the risk is low, but they want to cover their bases, and this is completely appropriate. Next, please. So the question for us with regards to this issue, as RSAC, as part of the consultation and the discussion here, has been, what do we do? What's our part? What do we have to make sure happens here? The first thing we've clearly identified that we have to do is, as we said, help document the information that's already public. The technical world, the engineering world, will know. As Johan points out, it's really very transparent. People are watching carefully for any little blip in the quality of the service that we deliver. But that needs to be more accessible and more widely known. That needs to be accessible to people who aren't engineers and aren't specialists in internet infrastructure. Another key point for us, addressing the set of concerns to a great degree involves cooperation between ICANN staff and the root server operators, which RSAC largely exists to facilitate. With regards to the process for raising an alarm, that process we don't expect ever needs to be used, but things should exist anyway. Who should be called? What should they do? What does that process look like so that people will have confidence in it? In addition, there's a question of shared monitoring and analysis. As Johan spoke of, we did a very successful set of efforts around the root, the DNSSEC rollout in the root, but that needs to be more widely shared and more broadly based. And Paul went over what we actually said in the advice to the board about root zone scaling and the analysis we committed to in there. We do think it's the right analysis, and it needs to be actually delivered. So what we're looking at here, and it's not even on a slide because we just finalized sort of the discussion of the timeline today. But we had an original tentative deadline that was not met. We are not happy about it, but we are moving forward as the work. We have a working group identified, five very senior members of the group that will be delivering a brief outline, a short paper, three pages, we hope, that will identify the initial set of parameters that we want to use to characterize the performance of the system, their significance, how they would be managed. As Johan spoke of, the system is not terribly complicated as DNS services go. The zone is small and it's simple to service. The TLD registry folks in the room, I see some, know that they manage much more complicated systems in some ways. But it is critically important that we know that this one works, this is reliable, and be able to show it. We've always known, but now there's a broader base need to show it. So there'll be a white paper describing what we need to do and what we think the timeline is for having some of these targets met. We expect significant progress on that for Singapore, with a preliminary version of the paper for the committee's consideration April 15th. And we will be proceeding from there. But there is a work plan for getting this done and doing our part on making sure that new GTLDs do not go forward without these appropriate considerations for confidence in the system. And that's what I got. And we can, I guess, take questions, comments. Or if nobody has comments, we can figure that an ICANN meeting actually ended early. How did that happen? But, yeah, questions, comments? Nothing? Oh, that's great. This means everybody in the room already has confidence in what we're doing.
I think it means everybody in the room has seen the line downstairs and wants to add to it.
Yes, apparently we have a rock star here. Is there anything on the phone? I know we're remote here. Okay, then I guess we're good. And thank everybody for your time and attention. And when that plan is out for comment and review by the broader community of what is this really what you want to know, we'll expect to hear from you. Thank you, everyone.